Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Austin Hagen, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. Really excited to be joining with you guys this morning. Like I said, I'm Austin. I'm thinking I know most of you guys. Hopefully you know me. If not, I lead our college ministry here at Connection Church and work with our middle school and high school ministry a little bit as well. So I'm really thankful Jordan's letting me jump on here. He asked me if I wanted to just talk for a little bit and share some of what's on my heart, especially as it pertains to making disciples. So I'm going to do just that. And I think it's going to be short and sweet, just kind of share with you what's been stirring in my mind and my heart a little bit. And hopefully it will encourage you a little bit. You know, this whole podcast is really revolves around making disciples and helping leaders make disciples, which I am passionate about. It's one of the things I love most about our church is our commitment to that. But I am equally passionate about this fact, and that is this. Before you can make a disciple, you have to be a disciple. Not you have to be discipled, but you have to be a disciple. And that is, of course, a disciple of Jesus. And so I kind of, you know, that's the biggest thing, man, if I could just encourage you guys with anything, it's this. I know you're passionate about developing others, discipling others, pointing others to Jesus. You're so others focused, which is a gift. I mean, it's man, such a gift to have people like you in our church. But I just want to remind you that your greatest tool belt in your discipleship tool belt is that you first follow Jesus yourself, and you're a disciple of Jesus. I was listening last week to the conversation between Jordan and Billy Shiver, and I think it was Jordan who was talking about, you know, the thing that Billy did that impacted him so much was he just let Jordan be a part of his life and just let him see what it was like for him to follow Jesus, for him to be a disciple of Jesus. And far beyond any techniques or any, you know, sit down 30-minute Bible study conversations, discipleship conversations, which I'm sure, you know, those were impactful, but far beyond that was just getting to be a part of Billy's life and watch how he was a disciple of Jesus. And that's true for you as well. It's true for me as well. You cannot lead people to a river of living water that you have not first drank from. And I would even argue that you are not currently drinking from. Like, it's a consistent thing. You know, you don't drink from it once and get enough and walk away. We are constantly drinking from the living water that is Jesus. And it's tough to lead people to that if you're not drinking from it. So I want to focus on that today just for the next few minutes. I had a shift in my followership of Jesus, I guess you could say, several years ago. I've been a Christian since I was about 10 years old. And, you know, obviously, like a lot of us, that's been a roller coaster of a ride. But really, in college, I got serious about my faith, really started to follow Jesus and be committed to what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. And then even into pastoral ministry, when I got into working as a pastor in the church, the primary thing on my mind was almost just a resistance to legalism. I wanted to make following Jesus really simple for people. And I think that's a good thing, and we should still fight to do that. But part of some of the consequences of that being such a priority to me was I went away from the teaching of the spiritual disciplines and the spiritual practices and man, the daily commitments to reading scripture and prayer and these kinds of things, because I didn't want people to get into that out of legalism. And I'll never forget, really several years ago, I got so convicted, and it came from a quote that I heard where it was a pastor teaching, and he said this, and I want to leave it with you, and hopefully it encourages you like it did me and challenge you like it did me. He said this: if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you must be willing to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. I'll say it again. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you must be willing to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And that really began to wreck my world and wreck my life, because I thought, man, am I leading people to follow Jesus in a way where they're nowhere close to living how Jesus actually lived? You know, I think about this. We often want, you know, the gifts that Jesus brings us without having the lifestyle that Jesus promises will give us those gifts. So for instance, you know, we want peace. We don't want anxiety. We don't want chaos. We want peace, but we want peace, but we're not willing to posture ourselves in a way where we have union with the peace giver. We want joy, but oftentimes we're not willing to posture ourselves in a way where we have union with the joy giver. And so what happens is we make the gifts our ultimate aim rather than the gift giver. Another way to think about that is we make Jesus the treasure map to the things that we want rather than him being the actual treasure. Because if you want Jesus and he is your treasure and he's the end goal and I just need him, then you regularly position yourself, posture yourself to receive from him, to hear from him, to be with him. And so it's very important that we get this mindset of, man, if I want the life of Jesus, the life that he promises to give me, then I must be willing to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And what was the lifestyle of Jesus? Well, I think you have to look at several things. I mean, it's clear in scripture that Jesus was committed to prayer with his heavenly Father. He prayed to his heavenly Father. He taught his disciples how to pray. That's evident all throughout scripture. Jesus regularly escaped from the chaos and the crowds and just got alone. He had silence and solitude. He got alone with his heavenly Father. Jesus regularly fasted. He taught his disciples how to pray and fast. He models for us consistently the spiritual disciplines and the life, and this is the lifestyle of Jesus. And so I just have to constantly kind of come back to this challenge in my own heart of, does my life actually look like the life of Jesus? Or am I just asking that he gives me all these things without adopting the lifestyle that he had and that he asked me to carry? You know, one of the most helpful paradigms of discipleship that I've heard, of just a way to think through discipleship and kind of the key aspects of it, is this. It really just focuses on three things. Is one, talks about being with Jesus, that if we want to disciple under Jesus and be a disciple of him, that we must be with him, we become like him, and then we do what he did. So being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. In the New Testament, you know, there was disciples of all different rabbis. I mean, disciples weren't something that just Jesus had. All different teachers and rabbis and even like secular thinkers. I think it was like Aristotle who had disciples. I mean, all kinds of people had disciples. But disciples of rabbis, I mean, they stayed with their rabbi as much as possible. I mean, their goal was to be around him 24/7. I mean, they live with him. They walk with him. They did everything, did ministry with them, did everything with their rabbi. They wanted to learn as much as they could because the end goal was that one day they would become a rabbi, that they could themselves do what their rabbi did. They wanted to teach like their rabbi. They wanted to do what he did. And Jesus's disciples, they followed him everywhere. I mean, they wanted to spend as much time with him. Similarly, they had to get close to him. They had to learn his ways. But you'll notice that Jesus eventually said, hey, now it's your turn to go. Like, it's your turn to do what I've been doing. And so he sends them out, right? He sends them out on a mission. And then, you know, where Jesus is different than all the other rabbis is he's obviously, you know, he's revealed as God. He's not just a human rabbi. He's revealed as God. But he continues to tell us to do what he did. I mean, Jesus is crucified. He's raised from the dead. And before his ascension, he gives us the Great Commission, right? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples. Essentially saying, hey, it's your turn. Like, I've been making disciples. I've been leading you. Now it's your turn to go make disciples. It's your turn to do what I did. And so all three of these things, being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did, all three of those happen simultaneously, you know? But when you lose one of them, man, they all lose their power, their potency. If you lose your intimacy with Jesus, of just being with him, spending time with him, of having this like union with him, if you lose intimacy with him, then you're just kind of doing all the stuff, right? You're just hoping to look like him, and you're hoping to do all the things that he did. And really, you're just becoming a Pharisee. You're doing everything without the actual intimacy and union with Jesus. If you stop being formed by Jesus and looking like him, then really you're just looking more like the world than you are him. You know, and you lose power because you're not becoming like, you're not being formed into the likeness and the image of Christ. If you stop doing what he did, then we lose that kind of that sent portion of discipleship. And we just become people hoarding, you know, things to ourselves of, man, we just have this awesome union with Jesus and intimacy with him, and he is forming us, but then we lose the sent portion. We lose the Great Commission portion, the go and make disciples part of it. And we're just hoarding it all to ourselves. So all three of those are imperative to us being really on this discipleship journey. And so I think I would just kind of throw the question at you as the listener, and it's what I wrestle with as well, is which one of those am I struggling with? Which one of those is lacking in my life? And if I'm honest, the one that I find most just in my pastoral experience of where people tend to lack is the being with Jesus part, the intimacy with him. You know, I find that typically as Christians, once we learn, you know, how to act, you know, what are the right things to do, or what are the things that God's called us to do, we just kind of find a way to do it in our own power, and we lose the intimacy with him. We lose the reliance on Jesus, the dependence on him. And ultimately, that will fail you. Eventually, you'll fail. And so I just wanted to encourage you, you know, to look at your own life and ask, where am I lacking in that kind of discipleship paradigm, being with him, becoming like him, and doing what he did? Where do I need to ask God to revitalize my commitment to discipling under him? Because before you can disciple anybody else, you must first be a committed disciple yourself. And so I just encourage you with that. You know, he is not the treasure map. He is the ultimate treasure. And so how can you posture your life? How can you recommit yourself to discipling under him? You guys have a great day. See ya.